It is my turn, isn't it? My choir's looking at me like, what are you doing? That's my turn. Okay. Would you please bow with me for a moment of prayer? Loving God, open our eyes to see, ears to hear, and our mouth that we might proclaim your glory, your love, and be Christians together. Loving God, we come here from profound, gifted traditions, some liturgical, some word, some evangelical, some mainline, some in ways we perhaps do not even understand, and yet your word and your grace come through it all. So touch us and open our hearts this night that we might come closer as your community, that we might be one body, even as we are different parts. Catholic, Methodist, Lutheran, evangelical. You know, whatever it is we name ourselves, we're still followers of yours. So Lord, open our hearts this night to your way. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
You know, with all the churches, you ought to be blowing the top off of this place for that kind of... And I do regret, when we planned to do this service, we planned for, you know, there's only so much you can do in an evening. And with all the choir singing, we don't have a lot of you singing as a congregation. And we made a mistake. When you sang that hallelujah, it was just amazing as we listened to it up front. So next time we'll have to do some more singing together. I also say I'm a little confused this night. Often, do any of you in your churches sit in the same place all the time? So, you know, I know who sits over here and here and here, and they're not there right now, so I'm not sure what I'm going to do. The last thing I'm really confused about is I'm not sure I know how to preach with people in the front row. It just doesn't happen. It doesn't happen here. Our Saviors must be a different place. But let me thank you for being here. I do know it is an effort on your part. We're all busy in our own communities, and that is a good and a wonderful thing. And I know when your pastor or priest or deacon came and said, you know, we've got this thing going on, I know you just rolled your eyes and said, oh boy, another thing. But it is wonderful that we can be here and what you have done for us this night. So many of you here and so sharing is an awesome and a wonderful gift to our community, to those who follow Jesus in this community, and to us as a clergy association who try to do our best to do what we can to be one, even as we are not one so often. Also, let me say a word in terms of the planning of this. You know, as the president, we had planned to do this back in September, and following our Christmas rush, you know how that works in churches. I had a couple weeks when I set aside that I wanted to really give all of you directors a call, get to know you a little bit, that we can might continue to develop relationships in our community. But, you know, life happens sometimes. And on January 10th, my mother, who lived with us for 5 years, passed away. We had her service on the 17th in Ohio, and it was a wonderful celebration of her life. But a thank you to especially Harriet and John, Harriet Cross, our vice president, and John, our secretary, for putting this together, because it wasn't their job, it was mine. But they stepped in and allowed me to do what I needed to do with Mom in that time in her life. So, I know when you heard your pastor say, can you come and sing, you didn't buy into hearing somebody else preach, and I apologize. So I will try to share just a few things quickly. But it's important. It's important we are here. However, I also know that this is hard. I know it's hard to be here because we are so busy with so many things. And I have commitments to one faith community, commitments to a family, commitments to a job or two sometimes. You know, it's about all we can do. And then also, we from different traditions see things differently. From communion to baptism to works, to sometimes even to the basics of grace, we talk about things differently. In some ways, that, you know, high liturgy that some of you dearly love, I can only take so much of. Right? And that's not a criticism. And some of the stuff that we dearly love in our tradition, you can only take so much of. That's because God has made us differently and we receive grace in different ways, and that's okay. The second thing that makes this really different is, you know, is we do disagree so often. I remember last year as we had this service together, Pastor Steve from Our Savior stepped to the pulpit and said, you know, I'm from the United Methodist Tradition, and I want you to know that's an oxymoron. We as Methodists often are disunited, you know, and we sometimes disagree and argue in Methodist Church. And I'm sure it's only the Methodists that do that, right? But for us, even in our own denominations, in our own communities for us. Sometimes we can't even agree on some basic things. For us to try to put together a community of Christians from different traditions sometimes seems ludicrous. What in the world are you trying to do? And yet we must try. Because the world needs us as Christians, not just as Methodist, Catholic, Lutheran, Mennonite, or whatever we are. Christ needs the witness of who we are to be his hands and feet in so many ways. I do think, sometimes when it comes down to who we are as Christian people, we have a history of not agreeing with each other and having issues with each other. And some of that just has to do with who we are. When I was a student, I worked with a pastor named Jim Newman in Hemingway Church in Evanston, Illinois. And there was a controversy when Pastor Newman came to serve that church. And it was not because he had a controversial social stance on anything. The reason there was a huge issue in that church is Jim did not speak Swedish. That was a Swedish Methodist church. And so often in our churches, we have tied who we are in our religious communities to our ethnic background. And that is a gift. Don't hear me upset not saying that. That is a gift because God uses culture, our languages, our poetry, all those wonderful gifts that we can share with other people. There's nothing wrong with that. However, on the other hand, sometimes we have taken that gift and we have used it to draw lines between ourselves, to accent our differences, to build up mistrust, to say you've got it wrong and we've got it right, to foster hostilities, to even foster violence. And sometimes we have let those who have agendas of their own use our ethnic groups and our religious affiliation to turn us against each other with drastic consequences. And so often that runs so deep. So we've got to meet. And we've got to try to understand each other. Because the depth sometimes of how we have divided ourselves washes out in awful, tragic ways. In places like Bosnia and Rwanda, in places like Northern Ireland where Christian turned against Christian, in places like Germany in the 1940s, people used mistrust to turn neighbor against neighbor and, get this, family against family to the point of death. How is it we as Christian people have let that happen? We need to be talking to each other so that we can minimize that possibility of the ideologies of identity and ethnic background trump the grace and the love of Jesus Christ himself. Because it has. And it is so subtle. It is so subtle. And we all are susceptible to it. For those of you that know me, you know I have a beautiful wife. And she is here, I have to say that. But you also know my wife, for those members here, also members of Holy Spirit. My wife is Roman Catholic, and we attend there whenever we can. I will have to say I'm a better Methodist than I am a Catholic. Just, it happens to be that way. But my wife is a native of Vietnam, and she was raised Roman Catholic. And that racist stuff is subtle. But I remember when we were first dating, when we were getting to know each other, she got invited to a wedding in Cleveland, Ohio, where we were living at the time going to school. She asked if I wanted to go, and it was a wonderful wedding of a whole weekend. We stayed at the family's house. And it was a Vietnamese wedding, and I was the only, white guy there. Well, we had a wonderful service. It was a wonderful wedding, just the family together. And we got up one morning, the morning we were to leave, and we had breakfast. And one of the Vietnamese women who was preparing the breakfast came to me and said, when we eat this morning, would you like a fork and a spoon, or would you like chopsticks? And, I'd known Zip for a long time. That's my wife's name. And I'd practice with chopsticks, and I was proud of that. I'm culturally elite, right? I can do that stuff. What's that question about? I'll have chopsticks. And so, they set the table. It was a beautiful spread. They brought me to my place. I sat down. I started eating with chopsticks, but it was a little difficult. The food wasn't really conducive to eating with chopsticks. Although, I can do the rice bit and the whole thing. However, I started eating, and I was looking around so they weren't watching me because I was kind of fumbling with them. And I looked to my right, and I noticed the person beside me had a spoon and a fork. And I looked to the left of me, and the Vietnamese person there had a spoon and a fork. And I looked across the table, and the person over there had a spoon and a fork. And all around the table, guess who's the only one with the chopsticks? And that is funny, and I chuckled, but let me tell you what happened to me. Immediately I thought to myself, my dad was right. Asian people are sneaky. And then I thought how ludicrous that was. Asian people are... My father, who one of the biggest dates in his life was December 7th, 1941. You know that date? Pearl Harbor. Who lost friends in the Pacific Theater in that war. He knew, and he convinced me, Asian people were sneaky. And I bought into it. Isn't it subtle? And isn't it difficult? How is it we let ourselves fall into that trap? You know, it pains us all to see things happening in our world. But we have to say, in Christ Jesus, in the power of love of the gospel, there is a way through that. Even with those of us who have those insane thoughts like I had, that those people are sneaky. You know, my father, as I told you, he didn't care for Asians. That was a fact. My mother, who was deeply Protestant, did not really appreciate Catholic folks so much. And so when I brought my wife home, this Vietnamese Catholic, I knew there was going to be trouble. I just knew, and I dreaded it. But as happens so often with parents and children, I grossly misjudged my parents. I grossly misjudged them. And when they got to know my wife, they took her as their daughter, sometimes treating her better than they treated me. Because that's what love requires. And the people of the gospel, love requires. You know, the reading that Mike did from Jonah, we know the story of Jonah because of the big fish thing. But you know why he was upset? Because the Ninevites weren't his people and God saved them. We got to learn that lesson from Jonah. Because God is a merciful God to all of us. And we cannot claim anything just for ourselves. We have to be those who are healed of our differences and our racism and our subtleties. We have to let ourselves be healed and have our eyes and ears and mouth open to the ways of grace. That within our differences, those ways of grace might present themselves. Whatever tradition you're from, the ways of grace in all of our traditions might be explored, celebrated, and I might learn from you as you might learn from me. Because the world needs us in this time of war, terrorism, strife, and mistrust. The world needs to see how we can trust each other in our differences and be people of love. If we can't, we're lost. But we can. We as an association, the clergy association, we are trying to work really hard at making sure we can learn about each other and trust each other. We've had different programs to explore the different things in the churches that we are each doing and trying to learn from each other. We've worked together to lobby some politicians in Springfield to complete the daycare center down at our Saviors United Methodist Church that has stood as a skeleton there, and kids aren't getting daycare as they should be getting. We have worked together to sponsor the crop walk for hunger in our community and in our world. We have opened up relationships with the Jewish community and the Muslim community. This morning, I got a call that offered me condolences on my mother's death. And it was Rabbi Max Weiss. We are building those relationships because we have to. We have discussed how we are to care for each other sometimes when the ministry gets tough on us. And we have tragedy in our community, be they priest, minister, or deacon. We have worked to support agencies that deal with local needs, families in trouble, abuse, hunger, needs of senior citizens and the unemployed, programs about those. Two years ago, we put together a peace proposal that we might take a stand for peace in the midst of war. Soon, coming up, we will be hearing from counselors so that when our soldiers come back, with post-traumatic stress syndrome, we as clergy and maybe we as churches might know how to deal with that a little better, because that's a hard thing. And we do this. You know, I would rather be home watching TV, right? I hear a no up here, but that's only one. You know, everybody was supposed to say no there. But I want my life to be open to Jesus Christ, that I can call you neighbor and love you. And if it's left to me, I won't. If I do not give myself to the love of Jesus Christ and let him open my heart, I am susceptible to the same kind of stuff that happened in Bosnia, Rwanda, Germany, and I want to be a person that can call you neighbor. And we need to open our hearts to Jesus Christ and let Him speak to us and heal our differences. Even as we have differences that glorify God, He needs to heal our differences in which it tears us apart. And we say, we are right and you are wrong, because we are just wrong in that. Christ doesn't say that. We ought to be one body. And I mourn when we are not. And I'm not trying to change you all into Methodists. That ain't going to happen. And I don't want you all to be Methodists, because you have wonderful traditions. But I want us to be able to talk together and support each other. And I want to be able to love you as Christ has loved me. And without our help together, that's hard. So I would ask you to continue to support us as an association with the work and the things that we try to do, and support your pastors, priests, and deacons. It's important. And I know you got tons of stuff to do. You don't need anything else. But there are little things we can do. So please support us as we do that. Because it is critical that Christ's people know how to talk to each other and know how to live that gospel of love. Would you please bow for prayer? Love of God, we give you thanks that we're all here this day. We give you thanks for the diversity that is here and the different traditions and how we have come to be Jesus Christ and in this huge body, the different parts that we are, and yet we've come to be one. So continue to open our hearts to your ways. Don't let us fall into the trap that others have set for us that turns us against each other. Because when Christ's people speak, you know, organized and together, we make a huge difference in this world. So, Lord, we thank you for these musicians, the gift and the praise they have given us. We thank you for what they have given us and what they are about to give. Lord, help us receive it in that way of grace and love, and strengthen us all, each in our individual churches. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.